Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, well, well. It's Todd Lebo. Last time I saw you, you had a nice sports coat on, and you were enjoying a wonderful evening for a great cause, Todd, weren't you?
Yeah, we had a great time down at Sheffield Place, the gala.
Off the wall!
Off the wall. Off the wall. You were off the wall. You were up there right. MCing. I got to see Susan and your dad. It was a really fun time.
That's exactly right. I tried to call you out and get you to spend money. I said, I want some of that money.
Not as much as my friends at my table.
Right. Some of that Lee Summit money spent tonight is what I said on the mic.
Yeah.
You did. You opened your pocketbook.
We helped $326,000, right?
That's exactly right. It was a wonderful evening for Sheffield Place. So thank you. Hey, and thanks to all the wonderful people that stopped by and said hello during the afternoon when I was at the Step Up for Down Syndrome Walk out at Arrowhead Stadium. And then on Saturday night at Off the Wall, the benefit for Sheffield Place. And so it was a great day helping some wonderful people on Saturday. And Todd, I'm glad I had a chance to see you and Denise and our man, Attorney Lance. So it's not just me, guys. I want you to know that Lebo was being scolded by Denise. She was begging him to put his phone away and leave the Oklahoma Sooners alone, wasn't she?
She was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, that's the technology we have now. You can just have a little phone up.
But see, that's
it, going down.
Do you guys think that Denise was right? Because Denise, basically, her stance was, we're at a charity event, we're here, we're dressed up, we're with friends, there's dinner, there's dancing, there's drinks. Leave your phone in your pocket. You don't need to monitor. It wasn't even a big game, really, Todd, was it? I mean, that's not...
They're all big games.
Yeah, well, are they?
They're all big games.
Right. Do you think that Denise was right, or do you think Todd is right when he says, technology is where we're at, I've got my phone, just with a couple of buttons pushed, then I'm watching the game, and I can keep up on what Oklahoma's doing? Who was right, Todd Lebo or Denise Lebo? What should Todd have done?
I'm going with Denise Lebo.
Yeah, that's an easy answer.
Wow, you guys.
Well, hey, Todd, be smoother, dude.
He says, you guys know how it works. How does it work, Todd?
Hey, I was smooth. I just had my little kickstand out of my phone.
Oh, no, you had it in the line.
Oh, dude, that's not smooth.
You had it in the drinks line. We're getting drinks, and you had it out, and she said, oh, look at him. And she said, she saw a bad mouth event. She put it away, Todd.
Oh, the drinks line's fine. Come on, man.
And
they watch Caleb Williams play.
Right, and then at one point, Todd grabs me and looks, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't looking to talk Oklahoma football. I'm not looking to talk college football right now. I'm on the outs with college football.
College football.
But he looked at me, he goes, I love my quarterback. I said, okay. And then he grabs me, he goes, did you hear me? I said, I love my quarterback. So Todd, you really do love your quarterback, don't you?
He had a nice debut Saturday, and it probably because I was watching it on my phone.
Right. But you're all in. You don't even remember Spencer Rattler, do you?
Sure I do. He's great.
Oh, is that what you think?
Well, he was the flavor of the week. Now he's not.
There he is.
Hey, the really tough part, but when you're watching a game on your phone, is when you're texting up all your Oklahoma friends is five plays ahead because of the lag. It's a pretty interesting way to watch the game.
Todd, it was...
Tell a big play, and you're like, okay, this will come up in 45 minutes.
It was TCU,
anyway.
Todd. I don't think it was necessary. But that's fine.
Do the old mute on the text thread, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I don't like the mute. I'd rather know ahead of time. And I want to know what's going down.
He needs to know what's going on. Okay, let's talk.
I didn't go to a cabin and not watch the Super Bowl, Jake.
Wow.
I want to know things.
Yeah, you're not cool enough to do that.
Huh.
I'm not.
That sounds like that could come up on the podcast this week. By the way, we're all going to be involved in this podcast. What are you shaking your head for?
You already agreed to it. I did agree to it.
You know, I schedule these things a few days out, so you can't switch on.
Be careful what you ask for,
well,
sir.
You be careful what you answer.
No.
Because this podcast can really open a lot of doors or maybe some trapdoors for you. But right now we have Todd Lebo on to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with the lineup changes. Daniel Sorensen does not start Juan Thornhill does. He plays 100% of the snaps. That's something that Dan Sorensen had been doing. And so not only did they make a change in the starting lineup, they stuck with it, and they left Thornhill out there for the entire game. And Dan Sorensen, if people have not had a chance to check out the snap counts, Dan Sorensen was out there for 19 snaps, which was 32% of the snaps. And so that's pretty much a reversal of what we saw the past couple of weeks as far as snap counts for Thornhill and Sorensen, Todd.
Yeah, Sorensen was only out there in addition to Thornhill. He was that they just absolutely flipped positions, really. And it was better, I mean, I guess. It's hard to tell. Washington is not a good football team. Taylor right. Heineke is not a good quarterback. And they lost, they had injuries during the game, so they were down a little bit more even during the game. And wasn't, like, at Riverboat Ron Rivera, wasn't he the guy at one point? He's sitting here kicking field goals instead of going for fourth downs to try to beat the Chiefs. I didn't think he was super aggressive when he coached. I get it. You don't need to go out there and bury yourself early. But, you know, Thornhill, if you want to say Thornhill helped a defense hold the team to 13 points and have their best performance points-wise of the year, I'm here for that.
I do want to say that.
But I don't think he was the reason why. But it was better, I guess. We only saw one big blown play, and I heard you talking to Adam earlier. That looked like a linebacker issue, but safeties are at the back of the defense. So I don't know what his responsibility was on the Ricky Seals-Jones touchdown. But that was a pretty wide-open play, but it wasn't nearly as many plays as we've seen over the first month of the season.
What did you think of Mike Remmers in place of Lucas Niang?
He did okay. I mean, Mahomes was running around a lot, getting chased, but it wasn't all just his spot. He was fine. I don't think the offensive line's been a real issue really this year for this team. I mean, it's not what it was 2 years ago, but it's certainly way better than it was in the Super Bowl. You know, I think most of the time the Chiefs have had issues with turnovers this year. It hasn't necessarily been because Mahomes was getting hit or anything. Sometimes it's been he's thrown the ball to Tyreek Hill and he's not caught it and it's bounced into other people's arms. And sometimes it was like the other one yesterday where he just got, you know, it looked like a rookie play. That looked like the kind of play you would have expected him to make in his first start. That's not something you'd think from a guy who has played in two Super Bowls and won an MVP just to throw the ball up in the air like that. So I don't think the turnovers per se have been because the offensive line hasn't been very good. So I think Remmers was fine. I think he did a fine job for them yesterday, but I didn't think it was appreciably better than Lucas Niang. But once again, Lucas Niang wasn't playing yesterday.
So you said Juan Thornhill wasn't the reason the defense played better. There's usually not one reason for something, but why do you think the defense played better then?
Well, you know, it actually looked like, this is weird to say, from just the first watch of it, Frank Clark was getting involved, Jaron Reed getting up in there. I mean, the guys they're paying all this money to were making some plays too.
And how about Nick Bolton was better?
Certainly helped. Yeah, I mean, he made some hits. So a lot of things are getting better. This defense is going to be kind of a mess this year because they have had a lot of injuries to key big-time people, obviously. Charvarius Ward's still not playing. That's a factor for the defensive backfield. I don't think we need a lot of, you know, certainly DeAndre Baker out there playing regular snaps. And Mike Hughes is where he is in the depth chart for a reason. And Chris Jones has not played for a couple of weeks now. And they need him back. And I know a lot of people want him to go back inside and play instead of being a defensive end. That's fine, too. I don't care where they play him. When he's on the field, he's better than the guys who are replacing him. So I think the defense, the biggest part probably for the defense was this was the worst offense they've played this year. I know they scored some points and the record was the same as the Chiefs, but you don't have to do much to watch the quarterback play and realize that was by far the worst quarterback at least they played this year.
Todd Lebo is our guest. I said in the first hour, the first segment that I mean, at halftime, it felt just terrible because another Tyreek Hill play where the ball bounced off his hands and is intercepted in the red zone. Then you've got the fumble by Mecole Hardman. Then, as you mentioned, just the inexplicable decision by Mahomes to throw that football after he had picked up his own fumble. And another just terrible, terrible interception that cost him 3 points. and you're thinking, man, is this what they are? If they lose to this team, and I'm with you, Washington is not very good, because in our text chain with Nate and Jake and a couple other people, somebody asked us, okay, what do we think right now? And we both said, oh, they're going to win this game because Washington just isn't that good. But I was impressed in the second half the way they came out and they shut Washington out. They outscored them 21-0, and it just felt like maybe that we could look back and this could be one of those moments where they said, enough's enough. I'm sure that they were inspired or motivated by losing one of their popular teammates in Jody Fortson, who had battled so long to make this team, and he had a fantastic catch early on in the game, and then you know he's out for the season with a torn Achilles, and so I think they were motivated, they were inspired, and quite frankly, they had enough, and we saw that's what they were supposed to do against Washington in the second half, right? That's who yeah. The Chiefs are supposed to be.
And well, it didn't start out very well either, because it was a punt, and then Washington drove down and had a field goal attempt and missed it. And from that point on, you know, it looked like a switch had flipped for Tyreek Hill. Obviously, he's not happy with his last couple of weeks with the dropped passes that have turned into a pick six and an interception in the red zone. Those are not plays you're used to seeing from a Pro Bowl wide receiver. He looked inspired after that for sure. And, you know, Travis Kelce kept fighting his way back onto the field despite coming off a couple of times injured. So it obviously had flipped some sort of a switch for them, and they played, you know, a much better second half than the first half. And sometimes you just need to get that way. Doesn't it kind of feel to you guys like it's been just a little bit of a sleepwalk so far this year for this team? They haven't seemed to have that real fire a bunch, and at least not big, long stretches of fire. I remember back to the first game against Cleveland when they ended up taking the lead. Chris Jones had a couple of sacks and really got the place going. But other than that, it's just kind of been like, okay, they're just kind of going through the motions a little bit. And I'm not saying that they don't care. I'm saying it's hard to do this job and have your target on your back every week. They've gone to 3 straight AFC Championship games. They've gone to 2 straight Super Bowls. They did the run it back campaign last year. And now they're doing the, you know, the whatever, rerun it back and go back again campaign. And there's some good teams in this AFC, and they had to play a whole bunch of them early, and now they got a little different part of their schedule. Yesterday was a pretty good day for the Chiefs, right? The Chargers lost. That's good for them. Maybe something special can happen tonight, and Tennessee could beat Buffalo. I doubt it. But they kind of need some of those things to happen elsewhere as well. And then they won their game in nice fashion the second half. So, you know, I think this could be a pretty good weekend for the Chiefs as they get ready to go play what I think is a pretty important game next week against Tennessee, who's a team that's been in the playoffs and hasn't had a very good year, but they're certainly a dangerous team. So I think they've just kind of been, you know, not maybe as engaged as you'd like to see, but it's just really hard to be that engaged every single week after you've been, you know, they're not climbing the hill. They've been on the hill, and they kind of got knocked off the top of the hill, but they're still hanging around up there. It really makes you really appreciate what the Patriots did for 10-plus years, you know, 15 years, taking the bullets every week from everyone. And I'm sure we didn't watch every single one of their games, right? They probably had some sleepwalky-type games against the Bills where they barely won or something like that. And this season's not over, and I know people really live in this Twitter world where you want to make a judgment in the first quarter of a game and this team is toast. This is the longest season in NFL history, right? There's still a whole extra game to play on top of everything. So there's still some good teams, good things that can come for this team. But you can't let games slip away like they had a couple of times this year. They got a win yesterday. It was big for them.
I mean, a couple things on that. The Patriots had games, especially early in seasons, I feel like all the time where you thought, oh, is the dynasty crumbling? You know, there's a lot of times where people proclaimed Tom Brady's old now and not looking good, and then they just improved and improved as the season went on and corrected whatever issues they had, and by the end of the year, they're the best team in the NFL. We'll see if the Chiefs can do that. When you say, you know, when you talk about the problems they've had, the way I would describe it to me is they haven't looked totally focused at any point this year. And sometimes that manifests itself in maybe looking like they're not as engaged as they should be. Other times I feel like it looks like they're pressing. And when we talk about the turnovers yesterday, I just wonder how much of that is guys feeling like they need to make an extra play. You know, is Mecole Hardman more worried about trying to bust a big run than being secure with the ball in that situation? Is Tyreek Hill maybe thinking about turning up field before he catches that ball? And obviously Patrick Mahomes obviously was trying to do too much on his play. So I guess if I'm going to be optimistic, because the pessimistic side of me looks at it and says, okay, that was great, but the Chiefs are not going to be able to get away with mistakes like that against good teams. They can get away with it and overcome it and just overwhelm Washington with their talent, but when they play a good team, they can't get away with those mistakes. But the optimistic side of me says, maybe just playing like that for a half will get everybody to relax and focus a little bit. And just get back to playing football the way that they always have.
Yeah, that'd be great if they could do that. I agree. I mean, this hasn't looked quite right. But we've expected so much of this team and the way they've kind of approached, you know, the passion they played basically every single game in 2019 after getting to the title game in 18, and being able to win all those close games last year. Sometimes the things just kind of turn the other way. They've lost some of those close games this year, and the ball hasn't really bounced their way this year at all. I mean, it's pretty amazing. They had it was 12 straight turnovers where they didn't get one, and that's not all just on them. That's the fact that the ball didn't bounce their way when it's been on the ground for other teams as well. So maybe it's kind of going back towards the mean on some of those things, but the one thing they can control is, you know, how they approach the game and how they practice and how they go out there and try to fire on all cylinders, and it really hadn't been working for them at this point this year. So maybe we'll see it kind of flip a little bit, and you'll see ebbs and flows in the season. It's a long season, and it's not 162 games like baseball, but 17 football games, you can go through a couple of good weeks and a couple of bad weeks, and you just have to minimize the damage on those bad weeks. But if you look at, like, the turnover numbers in football, that generally means you're a good team or a bad team. The Chiefs are near the bottom. The only team below them, I think, is Jacksonville. And they're still, you know, at 500. You know, so they're way better than what they've been. They just haven't been able to get those turnover numbers to go their way yet. And if they go for a streak where they're not turning it over as much and they're getting a few, I could see this team running off some pretty good numbers. But I think the thing that will help them for sure is this stretch of games here they have coming up doesn't look nearly as daunting as the one they just went through. And it's not like they got crushed by everybody. It was pretty disappointing on Sunday. Buffalo was ready for their spotlight, right? They were ready for their close-up, and they were ready to get going on Kansas City. But these, you know, they're going to play the Titans. That's a beatable team next week. The Giants are terrible, okay? So they ought to be sitting here. That would put them at 5-3, right? Feeling pretty good with that Packers game coming up, and see where that one goes.
Todd Lebo is our guest. Todd, the running back situation is interesting. I know that his numbers were by no means terrific, but I asked Adam this question with Darrell Williams as the starting running back and Jerick McKinnon as, and I thought that one play from McKinnon where he picked up the first down and basically ran through four defenders.
Very good, yeah.
I love that. That was fantastic. But at any point in the game, did you ever think that the Chiefs missed Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
No. I mean, maybe they were calling some plays that they wouldn't have called. It was a different-looking formation a lot of times on offense. They were under center a whole lot, right? More than normal. Normally, when Clyde Edwards-Helaire runs, it's a lot of, you know, you're in shotgun or you know, it's a longer snap back there. They were under center a whole lot. I think they probably called a different game with Darrell Williams instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not made a huge impression on me in his 2 years so far. And it's not his fault. They picked him in the first round. It's not his fault he got picked there. So I think we have some expectations for him because they just thought he was going to come in and be this super dynamic player, but Darrell Williams did a fine job. I mean, the yards per carry is not something to write home about, but he scored twice, tough runs, and, you know, helped him win a game, and he held on to the ball. It's a really important part of the game, but no, I didn't particularly miss Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday.
He's good around the goal line. He holds on to the football, and let's be honest. If Darrell Williams was picked in the first round or the second round, fans would bitch about his performance yesterday.
Absolutely. That's how we think.
Right, but he wasn't.
You're assigned what you are. You're a first-round draft pick. We traded four players to get you. We did this. We did that. That's, you know. Now, listen, Frank Clark has played not to the level of an undrafted free agent, okay, by any measure, really, this year. But the reason people think it's the worst thing in the world is that he's getting paid so much money, and they gave away draft picks to get him. So that's how we judge a lot of these players at this point. And it's fair or not fair. That's what it is, and that's kind of how Clyde gets judged. And Darrell Williams is just a guy who they signed, who's been hanging around. So, yeah, it's all good with him.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the point that like Jake has always made. There's some difference, but not enough. You know what I mean? To justify the two wildly different investments.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, most folks will in NFL today will say there's really no reason to pick a running back in the first round, even if it's the, you know, it's just a luxury pick at the end of the first round when you've just won the Super Bowl. And you think, well, we'll be fine. We can afford to do this here. I mean, even like Christian McCaffrey had a very dynamic first few years, and then they've invested money in him, and he doesn't even get on the field anymore. So was that a smart pick? I guess, because he had a lot of fantasy points. But what does that help them win games? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's the league has changed a lot in the last 10 years on that front for sure.
Jake says, churn him and burn him. Is that what you say?
Absolutely.
I just made that up.
No.
Can I sign that to you?
Yep, I'll take that.
Okay. Jake says, churn them and burn them is all.
Yeah, and you don't need to pick one in the,
they're a dime
the
a dozen.
First round, in the top 10, man.
That.
Well, Baltimore looked really, 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 really good yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Three right? running backs.
And they had, if that would have been their 7th, 8th, and 9th guys on their depth chart, right? Because they lost their first 5 or 6.
They're like they're honoring running back stars of several years ago. Here's Le'Veon Bell. Now here's Devontae Freeman. And here's Latavius Murray. And you know the best part is? It's real easy to decide who you should pick up in fantasy football. Now
it's almost like they don't care about
right,
that.
Right. Now like I'm almost like, do I pick up Devontae Freeman now? And then, wait a minute, Le'Veon Bell scored a touchdown. I don't want to pick up nobody.
You change them all during the game.
Oh, yeah,
it's
pick
like,
up
who's
nobody.
Gonna be in here this time? So they can be a dime a dozen. Well, sit there and watch the Cowboys, right? I mean, they love Zeke, okay? And Zeke was a first round pick and they gave him a big deal and all that stuff. But this Pollard kid is making all kinds of plays for them. So, you tell me, what's Tony Pollard cost? 600 grand or something? Fourth-round pick a couple years ago? Turn him and burn him. I'm with Jake.
Do you have time left in the segment? Can you hang out from...
What do you need?
Nate wants to talk college football.
Nope. No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I think I'm going to go to Lawrence this week.
There's a topic. Will Nate go to Lawrence and hang out with Todd?
No way. Nope.
What about, I bet I said to hang out with Todd.
Well, I wouldn't mind hanging out with Todd, but I'm not going to Lawrence to do that this week.
We could just see each other at work.
You wouldn't show him around? Give him some advice.
I'm busy on Saturday, but I would.
Tell him where to go.
I know my way around Lawrence.
You don't know nothing the way Nate knows. Nate knows Lawrence underground, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow.
He knows the real deal. Yeah.
It's going to be go over there for 11 o'clock kickoff and maybe leave before the game's over.
Is that what it is?
It's not going to be an all-day deal, yeah.
And you're going sure?
Oklahoma's only a 38-point favorite.
Well, maybe stay to see if they cover. I don't know. Or if Kansas covers, however you want to look at it.
Last time I went to KU Oklahoma, I got to see Baker Mayfield shake his junk at the KU bench.
That's
and
why.
Then,
why wouldn't you go back?
Kyler Murray, I got to see him play. I didn't know who. That's the day that I learned who Kyler Murray was.
Wow.
I like to think the last time, well, that was 2 times ago that I went to Lawrence. The last time I went to Lawrence, I saw Kansas disrespect the Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
I see there's a different perspective on what you think of that incident by not shaking the hands of an opponent.
Right, Todd's right.
Oh, I didn't say that Baker Mayfield did anything wrong, did I?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just...
You insinuated.
Did I?
Yeah, the way you said his name. Do you have any comments, Todd, about what we saw from the local schools? Because a while ago, about a month ago, I said, everyone enjoy this. This will probably be the last time you see these three schools win on the same day. And I'm feeling Feeling very confident.
I'm worried about
very
Missouri.
Confident about that prediction right now.
I'm worried about Missouri making a bowl game for
well,
sure.
Well, they're not gonna, so don't worry anymore.
Well, no, they
I don't think
listen.
Kansas is gonna make one either.
Yeah. No, I'm
not
I want him
as much as worried about.
I
that.
Want you to be worry and fancy free when you come to work. So if you're worried about that, stop worrying.
I made you coffee, Lebo.
Okay, don't you worry about nothing. You have want your conscience just crystal clear. If you're wasting any time about that, I'm going to go ahead and tell you no.
No. Well, way. It's not over for them because they got South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
What does that mean?
They need
to find a
win.
Are you knocking them on there on purpose? You should.
Are you chalking
those up as wins?
I'm writing those down as W's.
You're insane. Vanderbilt, but no, you can't.
If they lose those,
you can't
games,
chalk up anything right now. No. What it's going to come down,
I'm chalking them up.
The best case,
I want you not to worry about.
The best case scenario is if they find themselves 5-6 going into the Arkansas game at the end of the season, and with a chance to become bowl eligible.
Well,
but I don't think
Florida
happen.
Is the greatest team in the world either. So
okay.
I think they got no chance against Georgia. And
oh, really?
The Florida game, if, you know, Florida lost. They gave up 49 points to. But at some point today, I know it's Chiefs Monday or this week. I want you to do a dramatic reading of Coach O's resignation letter. At some point,
I'm mad about this. I'm mad about
Coach
this parting
O,
of ways.
Despite beating Florida, is leaving. And you know, it'll be Florida or Arkansas there at the end.
He said he's got enough money. He said he's got enough money for a hamburger.
Like he's going to be okay. But on the locals too. I mean, you know, Iowa State looks like they're playing now, like they were supposed to play earlier this year. They kind of cut down on the turnovers. It's a pretty good win for Iowa State. We'll see how this Big 12 is going to shake out. I mean, Oklahoma State got the big win at Texas. Oklahoma's undefeated, but Baylor really impressive win against BYU. So everyone's still got a lot of tough games on their schedule. So I don't think you can write much down in the Big 12. But Kansas State's bowl hopes are they're not over by any means because they got off to such a good start. But they're 3-3 now. They need to find three more wins. They have Kansas left on the schedule, but and Texas Tech.
Are you
those
implying
are two,
that's a win?
We'll
Tom?
See what it looks like. Sure. I think that's what I'm implying at this point with Kansas. I don't think Kansas is going to beat anybody. But now all of a sudden, K-State's lost three games in a row. Emotionally, they got to go to Lubbock this week to try to get that win. TCU is not an easy out. West Virginia, Baylor. I mean, all those things. So I'm a little bit worried about the state of college football with our three locals is what my point is right now.
How many? I thought I saw this on Twitter, but I didn't think it could be right. I mean, you mentioned Kansas State. How many conference games have they lost in a row?
Whatever it was last year, plus these three, right? They lost the last maybe four last year. Is that right?
Because I saw is it have they lost?
And last year, I'm telling you, last year they were going after
last their last conference win was against. Take a guess who their last conference win
Kansas.
Was against?
There you go. Yeah.
One, two, three.
So they lost
four,
five in a row
five
last year.
That's eight. I mean, that's eight
straight.
Yeah.
I mean, did they kind of sneak up on you?
They
I
might not really win again until they play Kansas again. They're one-point underdogs against Texas.
That
Tech.
Surprised me when I saw that. Is my point.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That's surprising.
What?
That was not a good end of the year last year. They were really shorthanded many times. But they went out and played all the games. I think they probably could have begged out of some of those games, and I'll give Coach Klein.
Yeah, that's true.
Playing.
That's right.
That's true. They didn't make any excuses.
What else do you have to say about anything before we let you go?
I'm still checking to see if Texas is back. Are they back?
Wow.
Oh, boy. The
nice text with Mick and Corey when the Pokes got that game done. See, I'm reaching out to my cowpoke. Brethren,
I'm going to just tell you right now, take it easy on being a smart mouth about Oklahoma State. You got to deal with that.
I'm not being a smart mouth about Oklahoma State.
You're
Oklahoma
a little
State's
condescending,
legit.
I think.
They got Iowa State. That's a good
that
game
wasn't.
This weekend. Oklahoma State, Iowa State. That's a good
game. That's
one.
A really good game at 2:30. Oklahoma State, they hate their quarterback, okay? I know that from talking to those guys. They don't like their Spencer, much like Oklahoma learned to not like their Spencer. But their defense is for real. And that they have a transfer running back from Utah State. He was awesome on Saturday. And Texas, you know, Sark's got three losses now. Should I be worried about them making a bowl game?
Maybe. You know, the wheels could come off quick in Texas.
I'm worried about
it. I'm going to ask you one time, and then we'll break, and I want you to be honest. Just be truthful. Who's the better football team right now, Oklahoma State or Oklahoma?
Probably Oklahoma is better just because they have a few more dynamic weapons on offense, and that still probably is what wins things in the Big 12. But Oklahoma State's defense is far better.
All right.
Far better.
All right, give you a chance. You said
but Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
State's got some tough games left, too. I mean, the Big 12 race is going to be pretty fun because I think this is going to be something where we're not going to have an undefeated team. I think there'll be a loss for maybe everyone. You know, we've only had one team go undefeated in Big 12 play, and that was 2016 when Oklahoma won them all. So I think there are losses out there possibly for Oklahoma, for Oklahoma State. I mean, I'm not talking just about when they play each other. So we're going to have a two or three loss team in the title game against a one or two loss team. It'd be pretty wild. And, of course, they'll probably play themselves out of any college football playoffs, so it'd be perfect.
Kind of looked like Nate rolled his eyes and you said this Big 12 race is going to be fun. I don't think he agrees. So maybe not fun for everyone.
I mean, right? Not fun for everyone, but I think it's going to be compelling near the end.
For you.
There'll be plenty of teams that can lose. Well, sure. Yeah, right. I think Oklahoma will be in it near the end.
Okay.
You know, they got finally. A lot of
it's the Big 12!
Finally. They're finally going to be involved in this race in the end. Todd, when will you be here?
Soon. I got to get a little exercise, and then I got to take a shower, and I'll come in here. Hope that coffee will be hot.
Hey, I forgot my oatmeal. You got anything laying around the house that's reasonable?
There's a little power bar thing on my computer. You go eat it right now.
You sure?
The Powerball thing.
Will it make me constipated?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's find out.
But I don't really know. I don't know about your insides. You've got your tonics.
Oh, let me tell you, I got all kinds of mess going on in there. Can I have it, really? I'm going to go
eat it. Absolutely.
My wife has been studying some of these systems all weekend long. She might be able to help you out with some of this stuff.
She doesn't want anything to do with the system.
She might be able to help you out with some stuff.
There's a lot of things going in the system. I can promise you that. So I'm going to go have that. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. I look forward to seeing you here soon. Okay?
See you in a little while, guys.
She's expanding from there, Todd. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about on that front.
You didn't want to take part in our college football roundtable, and I'm disappointed in you.
College football's stupid, that's why.
Wow. There it is. The headline to take away from today's Border Patrol, Nate Buchady says, college football is stupid on Sports Radio 810 WHB.